Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message.
We're going to talk about blood covenant. Our first chapter in the Word of God we look at is Luke 22, verses 7 through 20 or so. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Somebody say must be killed, right? Passover. He sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to go prepare?" And he said, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Somebody say fervent desire, right? Jesus' fervent desire is oneness with his people. He didn't allow anything to stand between me and him. Amen. If there is, it's not his fault. Amen. Praise the Lord. Fervent desire. Amen. "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup," somebody say this cup, right, "is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, these apostles, you know, they may not have completely understood what he was talking about, right? They always have Passover. They're used to Passover. This is something. He's now saying, guess what? From this point on, Passover now is about me. And so they received it, the new covenant. Somebody say the blood covenant. Amen? Every time we receive communion together, we're receiving this meal, and you don't have to wait for Passover to do it. You can do it anytime you want. That's another thing he said. From this point on, as often as you do this, in other words, you don't have to wait anymore for Passover to do this. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Amen. If you feel like something's between you and Jesus, I do this often. I'll pray, "Lord God, I just feel like something's off," and I'll receive communion. And we stay at one with him. That word covenant here, we're going to look at this. There's, you know, translated words for it, but I want to look at the word contract. I know it sounds a little bit more, you know, a little bit different, but it's I like the way it reads. And this is from the concordance, right? Contract. An agreement between two or more parties for the doing or not doing of something specified. Amen. So what this rings out at me is this is a two-way thing. Amen? What Jesus did for me, I have a part to play in this. This is a relationship, right? It says an agreement. Well, if you have an agreement, it means there's more than one person doing this. See, there's a lot of people that just want God to do it all for them. And he has done it, right? I have to receive this by faith, and then I'm going to start living for Jesus, right? This is an agreement. Based this blood covenant, there is no stronger covenant in the Word of God than a blood covenant. But our part is to stay at one with him. Don't let things get between us and him. Amen? Stay at one with Jesus. This is an agreement for the doing of some things and also not doing some things. So where do we find out what things to do and not to do, right? We go to the Word of God. We go to the Word of God. Somebody say, I have a covenant with Jesus. Praise the Lord forevermore. And that takes the religious thing off of communion, right? To some, it's just, a cup and a wafer, hallelujah. No, this is a symbol of my faith in my Lord. I'm taking his blood and his body, stating I'm a part of his body. It means I'm not going to go out and go gossip against people and stab them in the back or fornicate or lie about people or just be mean to people, right? Amen. And when we miss it, we repent. We come back to Jesus. Amen. This is the agreement that we have with the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Well, look at Exodus 12. Exodus 12, we're going to read the first several verses. This is the last part of the story of God's deliverance. Don't you know we serve a God of deliverance? He's not the God of slavery. If someone's enslaved to something, that's the devil. Amen. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And when I think about that, this month, right? It's like saying today, the first month. When you get saved, you have a whole new beginning for you. It's like saying, now that you're saved, God's plan for you is to be free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for household. Somebody say, a lamb, right? And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Somebody say without blemish. See, now the lamb here that they're describing prophetically is who? Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the Passover lamb. So when you're reading Exodus, we need to be, in 2018, we need to be connecting those dots. This is why I don't have to go out on Passover and find a lamb to get us set free, to cover our sins. Jesus' blood doesn't cover your sins. It washes it away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Somebody say, my lamb is without blemish. That's Jesus, right? A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, right? This is what Jesus did. He actually was crucified on Passover. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. They're applying the blood. We did a message of talking about applying the blood, right? Taking the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, I apply the blood over my house. I'll do this from time to time. I'll walk through my house, and I'll lay hands on doors. Sometimes I'll walk the four corners of my property and anoint maybe a rock. Say, in the name of Jesus, no evil shall befall this property. We are safe and covered by the blood. You can walk through your neighborhood, right? And you can walk around your schools and apply the blood of Jesus. Lay hands on your vehicles at your workplace. Amen. We are people who apply the blood of Jesus and declare no evil shall befall me in this place or my kids or grandkids. You can do it in the spirit, not even being there. Your kids are going to school somewhere else in a different state or where, you know, somebody you know in another country, our military, our police, you know. We just apply the blood of Jesus over these people, our president. We did that in service. We laid hands on Randy and said, Randy, would you stand in for President Trump? Kind of looks like him a little bit. Just kidding. But we laid hands and we applied the blood, right? This is what believers do. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night roasted in fire with unleavened bread. Somebody say unleavened bread, right? And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Don't you know sin is bitter? Amen? Living a sinful life will bring bitterness. Rotting the bones. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God's not killing people. Sin is killing people, right? Jesus is saving people. Sin is killing people, right? Bitterness. unleavened bread, that represents getting the leaven out, you know, of our lives, the sin out of our lives. Be ready to leave. Come on out of there, right? Coming out of Egypt, out of the slavery, out of sin. Do not eat it raw, verse 9, nor boiled with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet. This is a faith thing, man. These people have been in bondage like for 400 years, and they just, God said, get ready. Somebody say, get ready. Amen. Listen, no matter how long you or your family member have struggled with that thing, get ready. Somebody say, get ready. Because your freedom is at hand. Amen. And your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. He said, on that night, somebody say, in a day. Now the blood, here, look at this, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That's where that term Passover came from. The plague is not coming in your house. You're in there covered by the blood. Amen. Blood covenant. Blood covenant. Amen. In that word sign, there's some interesting words. I mean, it can mean signal. Amen. That's why I don't take the flu. If the flu's passing over my house, it can just pass right on. Because why? Because of the blood. That's why I don't take depression. I don't take, you know, offenses. Amen. Just pass on by. Just let it pass on over. There's opportunities every day for us to miss it. But if we start seeing the blood and remembering that blood covenant, we'll just let that thing pass on over us. Didn't Jesus say, one of the best scriptures in the Bible, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. Right? That's called just let it pass on over. Amen? We just let the curse pass on over us because we are covered. We're people of covenant with the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's a signal to who? To the flu, to cancers, to diseases, to strife. Strife is a big one, a big one. This nation, the devil is trying to tear up this nation with strife and families and races and churches, men and women and blacks and whites and you name it, right? Don't let it. Don't let it touch you. As far as you are, you're living at peace with all people. Why? Because you are at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. It also means flag, like our raising up a flag, right? The nation you go to, you see our flags here. Whatever nation you're in, that's the flag. What does that represent? It represents where you are a citizen, the nation that you are in. Right? The blood is our flag. It's what separates you. Separates me from what? I guess from unbelievers, for one thing. Right? Now, we can still work and hang out with unbelievers and do things like that, but we're different. We're different. Amen? Separates you from sickness and diseases and poverty and from hell. Amen? We are separate from these things. It's a banner. I love this one. It's a mark. We are marked with the blood. And it also means miracle. You are somebody say, I am marked for miracles. Marked for miracles. Miracles can happen today in my life. And miracles can happen through you. That's the next level right there. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Not because you're so great, because you're marked for miracles. You got the blood on your life. You got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at verses 29 through 38. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt. There was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise. Somebody say, rise. Go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, let it be done, and bless me also. Pharaoh, right? He's having a bad day, right? And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. Somebody say that. Probably true, right? Amen. So the people took their dough before it was leavened. I love that. The people took their dough, man. Before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes and on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of, somebody say favor, right? In the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. All these movies that make it look like the children of Israel came out poor and impoverished. No, no, no. They plundered, flat out plundered the Egyptians. Amen? Came out with the blessing, came out free of this place of bondage. But that word rise jumped out at me. Amen? It means abide. Somebody say, I'm abiding under the blood, right? It means accomplish. A great work was accomplished that day. Jesus accomplished a great work for you and me at the cross. Amen? The work of salvation is finished. Amen? You don't have to go out there and earn your way to heaven or earn your way to be blessed. No, you just stay at one with Jesus, do what he says, love God, and enjoy the blessing. I love Shelley's message this morning, raining blessing. It's going to be raining the blessing. Hallelujah. God is so good, right? It means get up. Somebody say, get up. Some believers, we got to remind ourselves, hey, get up. Get your faith up. May not feel it every morning, right? Get up. Get up on your faith, right? Lift up again. Lift up the banner, right? Raise up, stand up, stir up. There's a number of miracle healings in the Bible where Jesus or one of the apostles would look at somebody and say, get up. And the dude would get up, take his mat, and be healed. Right? Amen. So we need to be people that are getting up on our faith, getting up on the things that God is asking us to get up on, right? Stir up. We stir ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost, studying the Word, listening to anointed preaching. Stay stirred up. Stir yourself up, right? You have to be your biggest cheerleader. You really do. You can't just wait for somebody else to stir you up. You got to be good at stirring you up. Amen? Stirring yourself up. Being excited about the things of God. Remembering what Jesus has done in your life. Giving him thanks and praise for everything he's already done. And being expectant about today. Today. What's happening today, Lord? I'm glad to be of service to you today, Lord. What can I do for you, sir? Amen. Strengthened. Succeed. Somebody say succeed, right? We have a God of great success. Amen. Uprising. I love that word, uprising. That sounds like a whole group of people catching fire with this. Guess what there's going to be, devil? There's going to be this thing called an uprising against you. People that realize, I don't have to put up with the devil's trash in my life anymore. There's an uprising. There's an uprising against poverty. There's an uprising against sicknesses. There's an uprising against apathy and laziness, right? An uprising against sin. We're realizing, hey, this is a blood covenant I'm in. I'm going to rise up and be successful in God today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at Mark 8. We've got a couple more things to look at before we wrap it up today. Mark chapter 8, verses 13 through 15. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Don't you love the disciples? They're always doing stuff, making mistakes, getting corrected. But man, did we all learn. Did you know, I was reading this morning in my daily Bible reading, you know the most popular Bible verse in the world? For God so loved the world that he get. You know who encouraged that, who got that answer? Nicodemus. A Pharisee. got the greatest answer of all answers in the Bible when he said, what must I, what are you talking about being born again? What's that about? And Jesus went on a rant. And part of it, don't you know if nobody would have asked Jesus anything, there'd probably be some empty pages in here, right? But Nicodemus, you know, we get so hard on the Pharisees and things, but there were some good guys out there. Now, true, he came to him at night, so nobody would see him, right? But the greatest Bible verse in the history, I mean, even sinners know this verse, came from a Pharisee asking him a question. How cool is that? Amen? But these disciples, they forgot to bring the bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Amen? And we talked about the days of unleavened bread, right, where you take the yeast out. He's saying, watch out for sin, right? Watch out for the doctrine of religion. What the Pharisees represent, when I think of this, I think Pharisees, I think religion, right? When I think of Herod, I think of the world, right? Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. When he's talking about get the leaven out of my life, he's saying, Steve, it's me and you. It's the word of God. It's me and you. Don't get into religion and all this kind of stuff. Don't get into the doctrines of this world. Did you know it's getting harder and harder and harder to live life in this world without having to adopt their philosophies? You can. We all do. A lot of we go to work every day. Amen. And you work a job in the world. But, man, there's things that if they knew that you publicly that you believe what you believe, they would probably, some would fire you. And they might already know that about you, but since you're not talking about it, you brown bag it, whatever, it's cool, right? But you know what I'm talking about. It's setting up for this end time thing where eventually it's going to just get harder and harder and harder and harder. Amen? So we need to be people that love the truth and hate the lies. Doesn't mean we hate liars. We just hate the lies. Somebody say blood covenant. That means we are covenanted to the truth. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. So see, that right there shows us that Jesus is the Passover Lamb in the flesh. And he came to take away sin. Don't you know the whole world has missed the mark? Everybody, you and me included, have missed the mark, have missed perfection with God. But Jesus came to remove that mark, right? Marking, what kind of mark? Being a failure, being a sinner, being addicted, being a slave, and mark you with a blood covenant that is forever settled. Somebody say, hallelujah. What do? We spend time beholding Jesus. Stay in his word. Stay in church. Stay in prayer and praise. Just walking with him daily, right? Because why? Because he's the one that takes away my sin. I'm telling you, nobody did anything better for me than to take away my sins. Take away the shame, the reproach, the guilt, the heaviness, the death, the consequences of that. Whew. And the word take off, this one's a definition off dictionary.com. To take into one's hold or possession. Jesus took me into his possession. Oh, I'm so glad. I belong to him. And you belong to him, right? To take into, but what did he do? He took sin off me. He took possession of my sin by voluntary action. Nailed it to the cross. He wasn't forced to do this. He did it by his own choice, his own will, right? And get into one's hands, control by force. Jesus took by force all the junk that the devil tried to put on me and the rest of this world by force, by himself, took it down. Glory to God. There was one story I remember in an old war movie. And it was, I don't know, World War I or World War II, but all these soldiers are out there, and they're bombing hills and shooting mortars, and they had a break for a minute, and and the sergeant drives up with coffee and refreshments for the guys. How you guys doing? Oh, man, we're just exhausted from bombing all these hills. One day it's hill 17, one day it's hill 37, we're back to 17 again. And the sergeant starts going into, well, did you hear about the soldier that took hill number one by himself? And he starts talking about Jesus and Mount Calvary and how one man took down sin by himself, nailing it to the cross once and for all. Aren't you glad Jesus took possession of everything that was holding you down? Amen. Praise the Lord. And he took control of that by force. And did you know that because he did all those things, now we can take possession and take control of everything that he has purchased for you and for me? But it'll be by force. It ain't coming by osmosis, right? We have to be people that know how to raise up, stir up. There's an uprising happening. We're going to be people that rise up and take by force and possess everything. Somebody say everything that Jesus has purchased for us.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.